We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
What I see as the silver lining is that I get to be a part of something that nobody else has ever been able to witness firsthand. And that is kind of the new day of retail. The old day just doesn't exist anymore. The new normal is being written as we speak. And so to be a part of that and to do it in a way that helps the business, keeps these jobs, helps consumers, I think that's kind of exciting. Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. While the pandemic is causing a lot of hardships and difficulties around the world, and certainly in retail, today we're going to focus on the creative and innovative ways retailers are helping the communities that they serve. I'm joined today by my colleagues, Chris Stewart and Susan Retta. Hello, Chris. Hello, Susan.
Hey, Bill.
Good morning, Dale. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. Family's all okay?
All good.
Super excited to get to spend all this time with the people we love most.
Correct. I know. Yeah. And continue to love. In fully. In a very full, okay. Full way.
Somebody has to practice patience.
Yeah. Retailers, it's very interesting to me because you've heard a lot of commentators talk about essential and non-essential retail. I think to the 52 million people in America whose jobs are reliant upon a healthy retail industry, all retail is essential. But the fact of the matter is, some have been open, some have been closed, and yet everybody has been really pitching in to help the communities that they serve across the country. Large, small, doesn't matter. They are the front lines. And they've always talked about that, and they're living proof of that during this really incredibly unprecedented time. Chris, what are some of the things you've been hearing about what retailers are doing?
Well, I'm really loving all of the ways that they're finding to kind of come together and collaborate. You know, we're seeing big brands coming together, like the large fashion brands. Joanne was partnering with Neiman Marcus and all of these larger brands. But I was just really loving seeing all these smaller brands. There's some local businesses here in Baltimore where I live that have really come together. There's a little soap factory just down the street from me that right when the pandemic hit, they started making a couple of blends of hand sanitizer and they just started selling out. I mean, they could not keep up with the production. And so they coordinated with a Meadworks here. It's the Mount Royal Soap Company partnered with Charm City Meadworks that had reduced production and they were looking at having to lay off workers. So it offered warehouse space to start producing this hand sanitizer en masse. And then a third local business called Waverly Color, that's a tattoo ink producer, had all these empty bottles because tattooists are not essential retailers. So Bill Stevenson from Waverly Color donated all of these bottles he wasn't using. So now they've got these three local Baltimore businesses really coming together and they're producing and mass sanitizer. And the Mount Royal Soap Company also helped facilitate and deliver food and masks and hand sanitizer and soaps to some residents of marginalized communities around Baltimore, which, as we know, are being disproportionately impacted by the pandemic. So I think it's just people are really coming together and figuring out the resources they have and what do you have that I can use and what do I have that you can use and how can we really come together to help the community? And it's really, really lovely.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. Collaboration has just been partnerships everywhere. Brands that you would have thought, would be duking it out are suddenly making friends and sharing resources. True. And I've loved watching that. I have to say, one of the things that I've really enjoyed is watching some of the big retailers move really quickly because, you know, we're years of following this industry. I'm so accustomed to like, okay, let's test it. Let's see what we learned. Okay, let's go back. Let's test that again. What did we learn? Can we move forward? What's the cost going to be? And now that's kind of just gone by the wayside. And all of a sudden, in 3 to 5 days, they're rolling out new apps. They're figuring out ways to do things that they had maybe been working on, but hadn't pulled the trigger on. So it's just been really fun to watch that unfold. And so two retailers that I will hold up as great examples, one is Best Buy. I have just really enjoyed watching what they've done. I've seen people report on Facebook that they'll drive into the parking lot and get in touch with an employee, or they'll call the store and they'll be like, so I have to teach my child and we have to do this learning from home situation, but I'm told I need this cord and I have this laptop and I have this device. And, you know, and all of a sudden the person on the other end of either the app or the, you know, is going, I gotcha. I know what you need. Tell me what car you're in. And they're getting it. I mean, it's just the beauty of, you have a need, I can fill that need. And they're doing that curbside pickup. But it's just been wonderful to watch. And just last week, Best Buy announced that as we reopen, they're going to do this concierge service where you can say, hey, I'm making a large purchase, so I'd like to talk with somebody. And they'll set you up with one of their employees. They'll manage the social distance. They'll clean the device you want to test. They'll get you to the checkout area and keep all the social distancing rules in play, but still take care of the customer, serve their needs. It just seems to fire on all cylinders. So I've enjoyed watching that one. And then you may have seen that Sam's Club also did some really interesting work, a concierge service for seniors. And they developed this app in, I want to say, 3 days. And what they've got is they've designated an hour or an hour and a half block so that seniors can pull up and they're able to use the knowledge they have about the consumer from their membership card to go to the car window and say, what do you need? Hey, this is what you usually purchase. They create a list. They're feeding that list back to somebody in the store to begin that pulling it off the shelf, pick, pack. And often in as little as 15 minutes, they're loading that order into the trunk of the car of the senior who never got out of their car. And, you know, it's all happening so quickly. And I look at that and it just, you know, hey, listen, I've never been a retailer. I've always been on the outskirts, but it does fill you with pride. You're like, that's my industry.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think, you know, one of the things is it's the expanse of the different types of businesses, retail businesses that have been engaged. Last year, we had the opportunity to sit down with Ministry of Supply in Boston. And it was a wonderful conversation that we had about business, how they built the business, and specifically as it related to the use of 3D printers. And the other day, I'm watching CNBC, and they're doing a feature on these groups that have come together to use 3D printers to create the N95 face covering. And sure enough, it was the Ministry of Supply. They were leading that charge. And so they took all of their knowledge, their equipment, and they put it to use in terms of getting into the healthcare community what they needed at that moment. And so it was just, it gave me chills when I was watching it because I was like, who would have ever thought in a gazillion years that a company like that would have to take, and not have to, but choose to take everything offline and go specific to trying to help the communities and the healthcare workers and the frontline workers to get through this pandemic. Mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the kind of thing that consumers are going to be thinking about as they're watching brands navigate this. And when we come out on the other side, whatever it is, they're going to be looking at who are the brands that really didn't put themselves first, but put the needs of the larger community first. And how can I continue to support them because they supported what I felt was important.
You're right. But Chrissy, and again, I go back to the breadth of the brands that have been involved. The high-end fashion brands reached out a few weeks ago to Matt Shea, our president, and asked, look, we're making gowns, we're making masks, we've taken all of our facilities, and we've now got all of our people working, garment workers working on creating these PPEs. How do we get them to the people that need it? It was such, they were just doing it. they didn't know how to get it to where they needed to go, but they, you know, they were stockpiling. And so we were able to get them to FEMA and make sure that those items went to where they were needed the most. But those are, I mean, the highest end fashion brands that were doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And, you know, there's, you may have heard about Rothy's. So here we got, you know, a direct-to-consumer brand that I'm going to say they've been around 8 years or so now, 7 or 8 years, but still an upstart compared to some of the huge companies that that are members of NRF. And they asked Instagram followers, what can we do to assist relief efforts? And some 500 ideas poured in. And as a result, they created the Open Innovation Coalition. And the coalition is an initiative to collect and sort of open source manufacturing. And they have so many partners that they're working with on it. Some 15 brands also in the D2C space, including people like Lucky Brand and Third Love. And they were able to devote a huge amount of their manufacturing time to making masks and making gowns, as you pointed out. So they're hoping to give something like 1 million people in the U.S. Access to PPE in the next couple of months. So, you know, big, small, everybody's finding ways to partner, to come together, to do good.
It's interesting that when you're thinking about, you know, what are the resources that my company has and how can we serve the public and things like that. One of the things that I read that a company did that I thought was so interesting, and it wasn't, we're gonna pivot and start producing PPE. We're gonna start, you know, feeding people, whatever. It was this Canadian fast food chain called Mary Brown's Chicken and Taters. And that's great, isn't it? For the month of April, they sponsored dropping the paywall on news with the Canadian media conglomerate Post Media. So for an entire month, all of their paywall content, the price of it was dropped so that people could be paying attention to the news and getting all of the current information that they would need without having to worry about, oh, am I going to click on this headline? I'm not going to be able to read this article. I thought it was a really clever way to, let's make sure that people are still getting the information they need to be able to stay safe and stay healthy. Mary Brown's Chicken and Taters.
I may need to go to Mary Brown's Chicken and Taters sometime. You know, at the National Retail Federation, you know, we've been collecting a lot of these stories. We've been working with a lot of these brands, but even the Retail Federation, to the extent that we can engage, that we can provide opportunity at a time where people really need it the most, our foundation, they run a credentialing program. And they've got different levels of credentials that you can actually go through the process, be credentialed, present that credential. And it really helps when you're looking for a new job or when you're trying to advance in the job that you currently have. But what we decided to do at the foundation was to make our retail industry fundamentals, a rise up course, free for anyone that wants to take it. And this is just building foundational skills, service and customer service and math skills. And so far, more than 10,000 people have basically gone through the program for free just because, you know, a lot of the schools are using it for continuing education, distance learning, and a lot of parents, I think, are using it to get their kids ready. So when this thing is over, they're prepared to go out and get a job.
Yeah.
Just get out of the house and get a job.
You know, there has been so much giving away with good, it's such good intention. It sort of warms your heart. I mean, you go from everything from recipes, like Starbucks shared some of the recipes for some of their different drinks. Then you've got DoubleTree Hotel. They released their recipe for their chocolate chip cookies.
My sister-in-law did that last night.
She
sent out on Facebook.
Did they come
did
out?
Try them?
Well, she's in Savannah, and she's talking about going and dropping it off at the front door of my, you know, sister, my nephews, my mom. I'm out.
Yeah.
I just get to look at the I just get to look at the pictures and hear everybody rave about it. But that was it was a really awesome thing that they did that.
You know what Zappos did? Has anybody heard about this? It's Zappos
yes.
Anything?
Yes.
Call them up. Ask them anything. They have a hotline But the website is like something like anything.zappos.com, right? And you can tell them you're having trouble finding yeast, and they'll call some of the grocery stores in your neighborhood and find out who might have it and send you there. I mean, it was just, you know,
never mind
shoes, but whatever you need.
Because I can't find flour and I can't find yeast.
I don't know how they deal with my husband is making me crazy, but whatever, you know, there could be suggestions.
It's pretty extraordinary. In Baltimore, Governor Hogan has been really great about ensuring that people, you know, really pay attention to the stay-at-home order, keeping the businesses closed. But there are some businesses open, are there not? Or is it pretty much all closed down?
There are, you know, restaurants and places are kind of open for carryout. Some, you know, like the non-essential are closed, but it's kind of interesting to see what's defined essential and what's not defined essential. There's a little coffee shop down the street from us that is, you know, they're trying their best to stay open to keep their staff employed. They're working 3 days or 3 hours a day, but they've kind of pivoted to, you know, now they're offering carryout, but they're also offering groceries several days a week where people in the neighborhood can get their, it's like fresh produce, pantry staples, coffee beans, of course, paper goods. And they've added, instead of when you're in the POS system, when you're checking out, instead of a tip, it says something like staff donation or something. So they're really working hard to try to keep their employees, you know, working. They have a GoFundMe going for their employees. And at the end of April, they actually updated that they've been able to continue paying a portion of the health insurance for their staff members and provide a limited number of paid hours of work. So they're really, you know, they're doing what they can to really keep people employed, because, you know, they're recognizing that we ought to keep the economy running, and that's one way to do it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, I know that there's a lot going on in terms of these states that are opening their businesses again, and, you know, NRF created this Operation Open Doors, which we're hoping, based on best practices and the engagement by a number of brands, determining what can be done to ensure the safety and the security and the health of not only the associates, but the customers. But there are other planks to that too. There's liability and litigation, there's supply chain and things like that. But it is amazing to me. I told somebody the other day in an interview, they said, well, is there a silver lining to this at all? And my response to that was basically, what I see as the silver lining is that I get to be a part of something that nobody else has ever been able to witness firsthand. And that is kind of the new day of retail. Mm-hmm. The old day just doesn't exist anymore. The new normal is being written as we speak. And so to be a part of that and to do it in a way that helps the business, keeps these jobs, helps consumers, I think that's kind of exciting. And I know this is a little Pollyannish, but it is kind of fun.
It absolutely is. And you know, it's people finding new ways to do things. So I had read about a farmer's market in northern New Jersey, and they would meet monthly, and the farmers would all come and present their goods, and people loved this. But as soon as we were all told we had to social distance and we couldn't get together in groups, they scrambled to find out a way to make it work. And sure enough, they did. Within 2 or 3 weeks, they were able to come up with an app that it turns out several other farmers markets were using in other parts of the country. They only had 2 vendors at the time who were ready to give this a shot. And those vendors made a mint the very first week, so much so that they went from a monthly farmers market to now a weekly farmers market. You know, and they figured out how to pick the produce, how to put it in the bags, line it up, gave people who had ordered a 30-minute window in which to drive up, and using your last name, they would locate your bags. But people were just overjoyed at the opportunity to still sustain that business, get their fresh produce. It's just those kinds of stories just make you feel really good about the future of retail and the ability of people to figure it out and serve the customer and keep people happy. I'm in the New York area, so you know, I haven't been out that much, but I've waited on my lines outside stores with the mask on until there was space in the store for you to go in. But I do find that people generally are honoring social distancing, and they are honoring the 6-foot rules, Although I was in a little trouble this weekend because I was buying avocados and, you know, you got to touch the avocado. Apparently, no. I touched a lot of avocados. A few days later, I moved on. It's okay.
Yeah, it's walking through the store with the Clorox wipes. I just, it's amazing to me. I've got one in my bag. I always get back in the car and I'm like, why is my butt wet? And like, oh, that's where I put the Clorox wipe. Yeah, it doesn't.
It's amazing too that we've got, I mean, the technology that's enabling all of this is just really remarkable. And things that, like you said, Susan, you know, things that have been in the works maybe for a long time now, they're just like, let's make it happen. Let's put it out there. Let's see what we can do. And how can we continue to serve customers?
Ready, and aim, fire.
Yeah.
Well, they said that this is advanced technology in retail by like 10 years. I mean, things that they were looking at, wow, we're going to deploy that in 10 years are being deployed right now. It's fantastic. Amazing. Well, I'm getting the hand sign from the little dark spot in the corner here, which is Jen coming on every once in a while to let us know that we're about out of time. But you guys, it's wonderful. I really look forward to this. It's great to see your faces. It's great to hear your voices. It's great to share these stories. And I'm really looking forward to the next time. So Chris Stewart, Susan Retta, thank you so much
for
being a part of today's podcast. And thank you all out there for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You know, you can find out more information about today's discussion on our website, retailgetsreal.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. Again, please stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time on Retail Gets Real.